be saved. Now, my subject when I was a student was mathematics. It's just one of those great subjects to do, okay? And in maths, you sometimes have what they call paradoxes, where you have two seemingly contradictory statements, and you had to try and reconcile them. And so there's something called the irresistible force paradox. Okay, and this is how it goes. If you have an irresistible, unstoppable force that hits an immovable object, what happens? Now, maybe you've never even thought about that, but mathematicians tend to like these kind of problems. What happens if you have an unstoppable force hitting an immovable object? Now, I'll suggest you don't lose any sleep on that one, okay? But what we have in Acts chapter 4, I think, is the unstoppable force, the power of the gospel. And despite the attempts of the religious authorities to stop it, they couldn't, all right? And so what we have here is the unstoppable gospel. And there's four simple points I want to bring out from Acts chapter 4. And the first is this, if like in the first few verses, is verses 1 to 7. It's the persecution that could not prevent blessing. And really in Acts chapter 4, this is the first real opposition that the early church has faced. So in chapter 3, Peter and John had healed the crippled man, and they, at the end of chapter 3, they were preaching, and we're told in chapter 4, verse 1, as they were still speaking, then the authorities came and stopped them. They interrupted them, they imprisoned them, they interrogated them, and then they instructed them to stop. And because they were greatly annoyed. They were greatly annoyed because they were preaching in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And it seems this is a disaster, it seemed. But we're told this in verse 4. It's the key word. It says, but many of those who had heard the word believed. So in other words, persecution could not prevent blessing. So there's the challenge, okay? Have I got a thing? Oh, is this for me to use? Oh, this is exciting. Okay, can I click it anywhere? There we are. That's, what have I done there? Let's go. By the way, if you ever watch the film, one of the Batman films, the Joker says to Batman, we are this paradox. So it's actually used in popular culture. Not that I've ever watched the film, but that's what Joker says to Batman, we are this paradox. So what you have is that Peter and John, they're arrested, and it's the persecution that could not prevent blessing. And I think in this day and age, when the opposition seems to be increasing, sometimes we think that's going to stop the gospel, but the gospel is unstoppable. So I don't know if you know, remember this, but Paul, the Apostle Paul, in 2 Timothy 2 says this. He says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. So Paul's saying, I'm in prison, bound with chains. Then he says this, but the word of God is not bound. And so in this society in which we live, you sometimes think the opposition to the gospel is increasing, and I think that's true. But the gospel is unstoppable. I have three sons. They're all grown up now. They're all married. And my oldest, James, he's married to Rosie, and they've got a little grandson. But James, when he was born, actually 16th of March, 1991, so you must remember his birthday coming up. His name is James, but his middle name is Judson. Okay, so James Judson Howlett. As he grew up, he didn't like that name at all. I think this is a fantastic name because I chose it. But But Judson is named after Adoniram Judson, my favorite missionary. I don't know if you know the story of Adoniram Judson, but a missionary to Burma, and he went through tremendous hardships, but eventually translated the Bible into Burmese. At one stage in his life, he was in prison, and it was a rough prison. And one of the other prisoners, not a Christian at all, was rather sneering at Adoniram Judson. And this other prisoner said to Adoniram Judson, "What now about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen?" And Adoniram Judson said this, "The prospects are as bright as the promises of God." So he was in prison, his life was tough, and yet he had this view that God's work was unstoppable. So in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, you have the persecution that could not prevent blessing. God's gospel is all-powerful. The second thing, verses 8 to 12, I've got the preaching that could not be clearer. The preaching that could not be clearer. So this is the second of Peter's sermons. There's five sermons of Peter in the book of Acts, chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 10. And so this is the second one. And as you go through all those five sermons, they all deal with the crucifixion of Jesus. They all deal with the resurrection. They all deal with his exaltation. They all deal with the need to respond to that. And as you get to, for example, verse 12, which is, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." That is clear, isn't it? Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the only hope of salvation. And I guess whether it's in our own personal witness or whether it's a public proclamation from this pulpit or in the open air or wherever it happens to be, we need to be those Christians who are concerned to present the gospel message clearly. Sometimes we complicate things, don't we? Now, we do rely, obviously, on the power of the Holy Spirit. We have that in this chapter. But our responsibility is to preach Christ and him crucified as clearly as we can. And when we're on the beach doing all kinds of activities with the boys and girls, our aim is still proclamation of the gospel. And it's not about the tugs of war and the water quizzes and all those kind of things. It's trying to preach that Jesus Christ came, he died, he rose again, and that we have a responsibility to respond to him. And one of the blessings of, for me, of being involved in beach missions is just learning how to share the gospel with all kinds of people, whether publicly or personally. But here, the preaching could not be clearer. It was simply Jesus Christ by his name. And so when they asked questions about what was happening, they said, "It's by the name of Jesus." And this phrase, "his name," occurs a lot of times in Acts chapter 4. Then in the next little section, I've got called it "the promise that could not be kept." This is what happened. This man who has been crippled had been healed, and he'd been healed in public view. We're told that in these verses. And then we're told this, that the news spread across the whole of the city. So everyone knew about it. You read this in sort of verses sort of 13 through to sort of 19, 20. So everyone knew about it. That presented the authorities with a slight problem because they couldn't deny a miracle had happened because they had seen it, they had heard about it, everyone was talking about it. What could they do? So they came up with a plan, and their plan was this. They said to Peter and John, "Look, promise that you'll keep quiet. All right? Just promise us that. If you can promise not to preach the gospel, then that'll be fine." But it was a promise that could not be kept. And Peter and John basically says, "Look, who do we obey here? Do we obey God or do we obey you? Actually, we need, despite the pressures that you're putting on us, this is a promise we can't keep. We do want to preach Christ and him crucified." And so they said, "No, we can't keep that promise." And so you find in Acts chapter 4, they're imprisoned. Acts chapter 5, they're imprisoned when they start preaching again. And there is this pressure on us, I suppose, not to preach the Christ. You know, we mustn't say certain things. Now, we need to do all our gospel activity and work with great winsomeness. We need to have passion without aggression. And sometimes when you're in the throes of Speaker's Corner, that can be quite difficult to implement. But we don't keep quiet about the gospel. It's the only hope, isn't it? So despite the pressures of whether it happens to the BBC or legislation or whatever ever happens to be, we can't keep that promise to be quiet. No, we do preach the gospel. And then perhaps the final point, just briefly then, is this. Now, I don't know about you. Now, this is a confession time. But I'm guessing I'm not the only one. Although it shouldn't be the case, are sometimes prayer meetings a little anemic, a little dull? Okay? They shouldn't be. We know that. Well, at the end of Acts chapter 4, sort of up to verse 31, there was a prayer meeting which was anything but dull. Because what happened was, when they were released, Peter and John went back to the prayer meeting. And, we're told that as they prayed, the whole building shook. Now, wouldn't that be a good prayer meeting to be in? Now, I don't know when you have your prayer meetings, and you think, oh, no, this is going to be hard work again. It's a shame when that happens, because no prayer meeting should be dull, okay? And I think for Peter and John, when they went to this prayer meeting, it couldn't be anything but dull, because they knew that they'd been in prison. They knew that the gospel had to go out. And so they prayed with that focus of gospel activity. And there's a few little points about their prayer meeting. I can't read up from it. It was united. We're told that they all met together to pray. And when it comes to gospel ministry, I think that does unite us. So Beach Wishes is wonderful that you have people from all over the country, different ages, different churches, different beliefs on some of the secondary issues. But when you're united and praying for the gospel work, that's a tremendous thing, isn't it? So their prayer at the end of chapter 4 was united. It was uncomplicated. You know, if you read the prayer in verses 27 onwards, all they prayed was, Lord, may we speak the word with boldness. You know, it's just simply, we want the gospel to go out. We want people to hear this good news. So it was quite an uncomplicated prayer meeting. It was urgent, right? I don't know how. I think in my Christian life, I've been a Christian, let's say, since 1981. The activity that I find hardest as a Christian is actually prayer. I'm okay at reading the Bible. So in my quiet time, the reading the Bible part is okay for me. But when it comes to the prayer part, I find that really difficult. Don't know about you. There's things to do then, aren't there? When it comes to prayer, I think, well, it's time to get on with stuff. And I can find time to do the reading part, but the prayer part I find difficult. And yet, I think that when there's a sense of urgency, I think that gives us a bit of focus. When you realize that people are lost without hope in this world, and praying for people. When I realize that my sister, one of my sisters, is nowhere spiritually, it gives you that focus and urgency to pray for her, isn't it? When you think about it, those kind of individuals that you know. And the final thing about their prayer is unselfish. What would you pray for if you just come back from prison? Peter and John, what would you pray for? Lord, don't let this happen again. Well, it did happen in the next chapter. They didn't pray for that at all. They just simply prayed for boldness. So they're more concerned about the glory of Jesus Christ. And it didn't matter to them, in that sense, what happened to them. They were just concerned that they would have boldness to preach the gospel, whatever it worked out for them. And my prayer meeting would have been, please, Lord, I don't want to be arrested again, type thing. Am I the only one who would have prayed that? And I guess if I had prayed that, you would all have said a hearty amen. And in a sense, I think God does know our hearts, and we want to pray those kind of things. But actually, the ultimate prayer is for God's glory, whatever that might look like for us. And so what it might look like for us in Great Britain in the next 20 years, I don't know. But their prayer meeting, it was anything but dull. So there's just a few thoughts from Acts chapter 4. The persecution that could not prevent blessing, the key word but in verse 4. The preaching that could not be clearer, it was simply the name of Jesus Christ and him crucified. The promise that could not be kept, in other words, you keep quiet, they couldn't keep that promise. They preached the word, and then the prayer meeting that could not be dull. That's just a few thoughts from Acts chapter 4. And by the way, James, my oldest son, he quite likes his name now. He's got used to it, and he thinks, actually, Dad chose well. Okay, so, but if you've never read the story of Adoniram Judson, you ought to. Okay. Well, what we'll do is we'll sing again, and then we'll look at some stuff about beach missions. Number 805 in the book, if you've got the book or it's on the screen, I cannot count your blessings, Lord. They're wonderful.